his work for us. His heart and his view was toward us. That's something we need to appreciate and be thankful for. You know, this was a plan established even before the foundation of the earth, this Jesus would actually be the one that gained the victory for us. It was even in Revelation 13:18, it talks there about how and speaks of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. You know, we only get a glimpse. We only get a glimpse in that verse, but it speaks very clearly of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. And that's something for us to consider. It's like in the minutes of the planning meeting, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit discussed and planned all creation. You just have to think about it. Knowing the end from the beginning, Trinity is quite prophetic. They know the end from the beginning. It was like, oh, let's not forget, we need a Saviour. And Jesus put his hand up. I'll go. I'll be the Saviour. You know, we don't really know how it went, but we know that God's redemptive plan for mankind required his intervention. It was planned even before the first two grains of sand were put together in the mind of God. Even when there was only a singularity, which was God, there was a plan for the Saviour to come. That's something to think about. I get too boggled on thinking about that, but for, you know, the universe and everything, there was God making a plan for the Saviour to come and save mankind from their sin. It's an amazing thing to get caught thinking about. You know, and the effect of the fall in the garden, you know, today we're really going to talk about two gardens, just briefly. And it's interesting to know, you know, the effect of the fall in the Garden of Eden was immediate. You know, it was a loss of relationship. In Genesis chapter 3, we see God the Father who comes walking in the garden, you know, the cool of the evening, looking for Adam and Eve. You know, where are you? Adam and Eve were hiding. And there'd been a loss of relationship. There'd been a loss of that intimacy and fellowship between the Father, his created man. You know, Jesus was then, you know, right there. What happened in the garden was to be overturned in another. We see that with Jesus being obedient to God's will. Where Adam and Eve had been disobedient, Jesus would be obedient to God's will. How many of you know that obedience to God's will is a decision that we need to maintain as well as Christians, living out our Christian lives? We need to be obedient to God's will and understand that he has a will and a purpose for us to follow and align our lives with. And especially at key moments, you know, like when we're being tempted to do something other than God's will for our lives, that's when a quality decision is needed. That's when we need to actually say, no, I'm going to do God's will. I'm going to purpose now to do, you know, those things that are pleasing in his sight. You see, there are enemies to God's will being done in our lives. I'll just say that point again. There are enemies to God's will being done in our lives. It's so important that we understand what those enemies are. You know, the plan of God for the redemption of mankind was at stake for Jesus. And we see in one passage of Scripture the three enemies at work. And I want us to look at that this morning. The three enemies at work together to stop Jesus from being obedient to the will of God. And they were the devil, the world, and the flesh. It's interesting to see these three enemies conspiring and working to stop Jesus from fulfilling that act that he fulfilled upon the cross. On that day, we know, we now call Good Friday, the devil was already having his way with Judas, wasn't he? Already working. You know, there's even a verse there that says that Satan entered his heart and he then betrayed Jesus. He gives Jesus up to the world, and I'll explain. You know, the political powers of the day, the political world was keen also to bring Jesus down from his potential, his potential popular rebellion that they were fearful of because he was so popular in the day. He was gathering crowds. Multitudes were gathering to him. He was feeding 5,000. People were being healed. People were being raised from the dead. They were fearful of Jesus and what he could potentially do and create in this land of Israel. It's not unique either, and we should see this. It's not unique. We're living in a day where the collaboration between the devil and the world is being seen. The devil has his pawns, and we should be aware. We also see the weakness of the flesh. Jesus struggles in the garden. We see, and please make note that these enemies are present as we purpose to do God's will as well. present in our own lives, present as an enemy that we must overcome. Amen? Amen. Should be no surprise to us to see Jesus on that day that he is taken away to be crucified while surrounded by these enemies. He calls a prayer meeting with his disciples, his last prayer meeting. As a Christian, what's the best thing to do when you're under attack? What is that? Pray. Amen. Pray and purpose to do God's will. Purpose to fulfill God's will. So essential. Here we see Jesus with his disciples coming into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And the prayer topic is announced. You know, we have prayer meetings and sometimes we'll say, well, we really feel we're going to pray about this. We're going to pray about that. Jesus comes in and announces what the prayer is going to be about. Look what he says. Jesus went out, and as usual, in Luke chapter 22, verse 39, to the Mount of Olives. And when he came to the place, he told them, pray that you will not enter into temptation. It's also true for us all today, isn't it? Our enemies tempt us to get out of the will of God, accuse us, provoke us to give up on what we know to be God's will. And of course, does the enemy have an objective? What is their battle plan? It's simple. It's always the same. It's to get us to the place of disobedience to God's will, to get us to give up on seeing God's will come to pass in our lives, to see him getting the glory is what the enemy is against. Ultimately, to stop us from receiving and acting on God's word. And just think about for a second Mark chapter 4, and I won't go there for time, but the farmer, you know, Jesus taught that the farmer sows the word. The farmer, that seed that goes out. And some are like the seeds sown along the path, he said, where the word is sown. And soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Soon as they hear it, there's an enemy that comes to take that seed, to stop it from coming forth and bringing forth fruit for the kingdom of God. The enemy comes. See, Jesus also faced temptation. And we're all here today because he didn't give in to that temptation. And the answer for temptation is still the same. It's prayer. Whenever you face it, it's prayer to dig in. Dig your heels in and pray. Luke chapter 22 and verse 41. And it says, and he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, where he knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus prayed that, prayed a prayer that identified his willingness. He was at least expressing his willingness to walk away from this pathway that he was currently on. You know, we cannot help but see his humanity, you know, at this point, his desire to perhaps avoid the cross. He knew what was about to happen to him. You know, sometimes we face things we don't quite know how it's going to go, but he's the Alpha and the Omega. You know, the beginning and the end. He knew the intimate detail of what the cross had in store for him and crucifixion and what he was about to suffer. You know, but his determination to fulfill God's plan for the redemption of mankind is bigger than the apprehension of what he might suffer. And we see that. Take note, when we pray in those moments, pray against temptation. You know, and continue with God's will and his word, heaven's resources are released to us. You know, the angels of heaven can and will begin to minister to us as they did for Jesus. Just look at the next verse. And then an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And in his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. You know, as we consider the suffering of Jesus, the plan of God being fulfilled, notice how Jesus called for prayer. For God's will to be done on earth, we all need to step up to prayer and recognize that the temptation that is something we pray against. Temptation is designed by our enemy to take us off task, to take us out of the fight, to stop us from overcoming. And we've got to recognize that. Luke chapter 22 and verse 45, it says there, when Jesus rose from prayer and returned to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. I guess that's fairly reasonable. They knew something was happening. They were exhausted from the sorrow and they'd started to nod off. Verse 46, why are you sleeping, he asked. Get up and pray so that you'll not enter temptation. You know, let's be sure and make sure that we're not a part of the sleeping church at this time and in this season. Make sure that we're a prayerful church, because you know what? A prayerful church is a powerful church. With the angels of heaven on our side, you know, why wouldn't we pray? Why wouldn't we get down and kneel on our knees if they're knocking, you know? And as we receive the elements today, let's make a quality decision. You know, someone says, what's a quality decision? A quality decision is a decision you make that you'll not give up on. It's one that you're determined to continue with. Let's make a quality decision to stay on task despite temptations from our enemies. In Hebrews 12, and I'll just bring that up, a final verse, it says there in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Well, what was the joy? There was no joy in it for him, except that he saw the other side of the cross. The joy was you and I sitting here this morning, rejoicing at our, you know, Saviour, our Lord, the victor, and that we're also victors because of what he did on the cross. That was the joy that was set before him. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, it says, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners, so that you'll not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. That's something for us to think about. Why don't we this morning receive the elements? I'm going to invite you all to come up. I'm not too sure which, because usually we have two, and we've got one side goes this side. So I think what we'll do is we'll maybe all head around this side and then come, so that you on this side might have to go a little bit further, but that way there's no traffic jams. Is that okay? All right. Hallelujah. Like Ganthian Point on a Sunday afternoon. Well, if you all receive your elements, I'd like to praise the Lord. And it says there in verse 23, it says, for I received from the Lord that which I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Why don't we all eat together in remembrance? And we thank you today, Lord God, for this bread and what it represents, the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you today, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus, for allowing him to come and be that intervention, Lord. We thank you that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We declare today that there is none but Jesus. And it is forevermore, Lord God, forevermore that we celebrate, Lord, that work of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross those 2,000 more years ago, Lord. We thank you for the benefits that we walk in, Lord God. That, Lord God, by his very stripes we are healed. The provision for physical healing, Father. Divine healing was made available right there. And we give you thanks for that, Lord God. And receive today that promise into our physical lives, Lord God. Healing, Father. Being raised up from sickness and disease, Lord God. We thank you that it's a promise that we can still stand on today. According to your word. So we give you thanks and praise today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 And it says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's all drink together and give thanks. Hallelujah. And Heavenly Father, we again thank you for Lord, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, Lord, that he died, Lord God, not just for our sicknesses, Lord God, but also, Father, for our sin. And that, Lord, we stand today forgiven by the very work of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. That we are washed clean, Father, from sin, Father. Transgressions, Lord God, against you, Father God, are washed away, Lord God. So we give you thanks and praise today, Lord God, for that substitutionary sacrifice upon the cross, Lord God, that we could stand before you today, Lord God, with the gift of righteousness, Lord God. We couldn't possibly deserve it on our own, Lord God. And so we give you thanks today. We give you praise today for what you've done for us at the cross, Lord. At the cross of Calvary, give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, let's go on just worshiping the Lord. Maybe number Jesus, just as we finish today. Got a little bit longer, but just hang in there. We're just going to sing this song. And, you know, just as we do, I just want to make the invitation, and maybe we're all believers here today, but if that's anything... If that's a sign of anything, is that we need to be busy, church. We need to be out there telling people about what we've found in Christ Jesus, the new life that we have. I encourage you this morning, if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, today is the day. Today is the day in which you could actually pray a prayer that we call the prayer of salvation, and of course invite Jesus in to your life to make a difference. Amen? Amen. Well, let's just go out with a song and we'll have some fellowship. As I say, don't rush off. Stay, hang around, have a bit of fellowship with us. We appreciate your attendance again today. God bless you all.